extremely difficult developments. The process of renewal, he said, meant providing the country with competent leadership. He laid the blame for the present upheavals in the communist-led state on his predecessors, claiming they had violated party statutes and had lost the party's close relationship with the people. But despite Prince's outwardly vigorous attempts to revitalize the party's sagging image, doubts remain about his ability to rescue the SED's dwindling fortunes. Clive Freeman for Pacifica News from Berlin.
In Managua today, Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega announced he's prepared to renew a unilateral ceasefire if the U.S.-backed Contras agree to disband under guidelines set forth by the Central American Plan. Ortega said he will formally announce the proposition for reinstating the 19-month-old ceasefire when he meets with the Contra leadership at the U.N. tomorrow. In reaction to Ortega's announcement, a Contra commander in Honduras said his forces would not consider disbanding without first a ceasefire and a guarantee that Contra forces can return home. Meanwhile, here in Washington, Nicaraguan opposition candidate Violeta Chamorro met with President Bush at the White House. Tomorrow, she will have breakfast with visiting Philippine President Corazon Aquino and is then scheduled to meet with members of Congress. Chamorro will leave for Europe on Friday. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. Democrat Jim Florio made lower car insurance prices his top priority on his first day as New Jersey's governor-elect today, promising a reduction in the next year and also renewing his promise not to raise taxes. Car insurance is number one, said Florio, who also named campaign manager Doug Berman to head his transition team. Florio, an eight-term Congress member making his third run for governor, defeated Republican Jim Corder in yesterday's election, carrying 62% of the vote to Corder's 38% in the landslide. Democrats were swept into control of the state assembly on Florio's coattails, taking 44 of the 80 seats in the lower house, with one race still too close to call. Republicans had a majority of 41-39. Democrats already controlled the Senate, and the gubernatorial and assembly victories gave the party complete control of the state house. And finally tonight, the healing has begun. Mayor-elect David Dinkins lived up to his image as a conciliator last night with a carefully worded victory speech and a deliberate selection of guests on the podium as he made that speech. It was friends and family only. No politicians, including Jesse Jackson, joined him on the stage. Jenny Bourne was at the victory celebration and talked with African-American New Yorkers about their hopes for the first black mayor in the city's history.
The race was far closer than anyone expected, just 3 percentage points instead of the double-digit victory predicted by the polls. In the end, Rudolph Giuliani conceded just before midnight, pushing Dinkins' victory speech into the wee hours of Wednesday morning. Thousands of Dinkins supporters crushed into the Sheraton's Imperial Ballroom. They grew restless waiting to celebrate their champion. By the time Dinkins appeared, they didn't want to hear anything about his opponent.
Rudolph Giuliani is a decent man. Now hear me, please.
Dinkins called for unity and was careful to thank a list of key supporters, including Mayor Ed Koch, who he called the city's senior statesman, and Governor Mario Cuomo, before he mentioned Jesse Jackson. The crowd began a soft chant, barely audible, urging Dinkins to give voice to their conscience and thank Jesse Jackson.
And another man of towering talent who has touched the face of history, a man whose gifts and caring cannot be denied, sometimes misunderstood. I know he wants to be a powerful force for the healing of America. I make reference to my friend, the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson.
Jackson became the center of controversy during the campaign when Jewish voters, considered crucial to Dinkins' victory, questioned Dinkins' association with Jackson because of the civil rights leader's stance on Israel. Dinkins said throughout the campaign that the two differed on Israel. On primary night, Jackson stood with Dinkins on stage, but during the later phases of the campaign, he was nearly invisible, and Dinkins assured Jewish voters that Jackson would not be a key advisor in New York City's government. Last night, Dinkins became mayor with only 39% of the Jewish vote. By contrast, 97% of all African Americans voted for David Dinkins, hardly surprising since nearly every black elected official and clergyman came out in his support, and that vote was crucial in winning Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Manhattan. During his acceptance speech, Dinkins recognized Congressmember Charles Rangel, Senator Basil Patterson, and former Manhattan Borough President Percy Sutton. Dinkins said, "Everybody stands on someone's shoulders, and he stands on the shoulders of Sutton, who also ran for mayor." Last night, supporters representing diverse segments of the African American community expressed hope for Dinkins' administration, but didn't let their new mayor-elect off the hook. Pete Williams of the Medgar Evers College Center for Law and Social Justice says black activists must come up with an agenda expressing their concerns to the new mayor.
We cannot say now we have an African American in there and just leave it as that. We must constantly provide the necessary direction.
Activist Jitu Weyusi, who resigned from the Dinkins campaign after being accused of making anti-Semitic remarks during the 1960s teacher strike, was there last night showing his support for Dinkins.
And I think that now we should take a period of time and reflect on everything, and then we can kind of see how everything is going to move. You know, I think we should enjoy the moment tonight, though.
Assemblymember Al Venn, another longtime black activist who began his political career in the wake of that teacher strike, says the Brooklyn vote was key to Dinkins' success.
Brooklyn had probably one-third of the electorate, and we came out in great numbers in the primary, and we did the same thing in the general election. So you might say so goes Brooklyn, so goes citywide leadership in many ways.
In Brooklyn, as in many parts of the city, long lines formed at the polls as the evening wore on. Hazel Dukes, who heads up the state NAACP, says large numbers of African Americans came out to vote in the three boroughs won by Dinkins.
At 7:30, there was lines in Brooklyn. I always believed that Brooklyn would be ours. And with Brooklyn, Bronx, and Manhattan, there was no way that Mr. Giuliani could win. It would be close, but he could not win. So I was not tense. I was tense and sad that Mr. Giuliani did not concede earlier, as he did, and I'm not so sure whether he really conceded.
In his concession speech, Giuliani said he was proud of his 48% victory in a city that is 5-1 Democrat. Dinkins campaigned as a healer who could bring together the city's diverse racial and ethnic groups. Last night, African Americans said they hope his leadership will stem the tide of police brutality and racially motivated violence in the city.
New York cannot continue to exist the way it has been existing over the last 12 years.
Attorney C. Vernon Mason.
This city was getting ready to blow up. Now, a lot of people did not understand that and had no appreciation for that.
Just getting a voice on a number of problems that we've had over the last 12 years, we've pretty much run up against a deaf ear in city politics and even in state government. We've had special prosecutors appointed on cases like Jimmy Lee Bruce, but nothing has been done. So I think that David will add a tone to the city that has never existed before. The expectations of people in our community are going to be very, very high, but I think the expectations of people across New York City are going to be very, very high.
While many black activists say they will fight hard to make New York's mayor-elect live up to those expectations, last night they were simply savoring the moment, like longtime Harlem activist Queen Mother Moore.
What happened is beautiful, so we all should enjoy it. It's about time.
We see.
Now, what we want to do is stick together and make it strong and strong.
For WBAI News, I'm Jenny Bourne with Sally O'Brien and Zinsley Kwesan.
And that's some of the news for Wednesday, November 8th, 1989. The news was engineered by Jennifer Burnett. It was produced with Mark Albert, Julie Cohn, Lauren Kamato, Zinsley Kwesan, Sally O'Brien, and Jenny Bourne. And the newsroom wishes Jenny a very happy birthday. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Tara Seiler in Washington for WBAI Listener Supported News.
And it's coming up on 11:47. You're tuned to WBAI in New York. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. I'll be filling in for Robert Knight tonight. And we have quite a few interesting things coming up, including some call-ins. If you feel in a talkative mood tonight, this is your opportunity.
This is not the way of it. All that shouting, all that noise, all that noise. Listen, this is not the way of it. All that shouting is not the way of it. All that noise, all that noise. Listen, listen, listen. Noise. 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 Noise.
You ever think that life is just nothing but a series of noises? In fact, that's the whole planet, the whole universe is. Well, this is not Earthwatch, but it's going to be close. We'll be talking about the environment. We'll be talking about high technology and some low technology and some low morals and high morals and all kinds of neat things like that. Flag burning, East Germany, you name it. There's just so many things going on that I feel like finding out more about, and our listeners are certainly the people to tell us. But before we get into any of that, I'd like to play a couple of things for you that I think are extremely relevant. The first thing is off a project that I was involved in with a couple of other people called Brain Damage Incorporated, and this is from our, I guess you would call it an album, but it's not an album in the fact that it was never released and it was never put on vinyl, but in every other sense it was an album. And this piece features a gentleman known as Reverend Al. Let's have a bit of that, and then we'll go into some telephone business here on WBAI. Our telephone number, by the way, in case you want to call in, is 212-279-3400.
This transmission is coming to you approximately halfway between the moon and the earth.
They got it, Mathis?
Yeah, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. Now, I'm on a special diet, so I can't have some foods, but I wanted to taste the McDonald's for a while now. Could you possibly tell me what exactly goes into a Big Mac?
Okay, on a Big Mac, it has the beef, the hamburger meat, right?
Uh-huh.
And it has a special sauce. It has a special sauce with onions and lettuce and two pickles and a slice of cheese.
Now, do you know what the special sauce consists of?
Could you hold on for 1 second?
Yeah, I can hold on. All
right.
Sodium foods with like not a lot of salt.
Uh-huh.
And I can't have things with iodine.
Uh-huh.
Or glycerin.
Uh-huh.
Or hypoglycerates.
Hypoglycerates?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and you can have a Big Mac then.
Okay, thank you very much.
The number you have reached, 1, has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
let every last moment of that song play, because it's so rare that you hear something like that. I remember when that was a hit, and that was, when was that? Let me look at the record cover here, see what year is printed on this thing. It was way back there. With my luck, there's no year on this. No, that does not seem to be, unfortunately. But I had to go long and far to find a used copy of this record because it's out of print. Focus. And the record is called Moving Waves. Somewhere in the early 70s, I suppose. And that's a typical sound of a Dutch rock band. You know, Dutch music is just so wild and crazy, sort of like the culture over there, which is why I like it so much. We could sure learn a lot from them. Hocus Pocus with Focus. When that was a hit, they only kept three of the verses. They only, you know, did three of those little crazy bits, and that was it. They sort of faded away. And on this record, I believe there are seven on the album cut. I remember the first time I was listening to the progressive FM station back in the 70s. That's when we used to have such things. You know, the one that played the LP tracks and where the DJs talked for long periods of time and had really deep voices and things like that. And they played the long version, and it was like, wow, there's a long version of this. And I remember sitting by the radio with my tape recorder. This was before they had tape recorders built into radios. Or if it wasn't before that, it was before I ever saw one of them. And I would sit there with my handheld microphone and my Panasonic tape recorder, which I had just gotten for some kind of a celebration of some sort, and I was holding it up to the radio, waiting for those opening chords. And of course, you'd always miss the opening chords because you'd run to turn the microphone on just when they started playing. And I still have those tapes. I still have those tapes. If I listen back to some of them, I hear the remnants of some of these songs. And the DJs talking afterwards sometimes, which is really pretty amazing, like the old WABC with the bell and all that. Oh, those are the days. Those were the days. Hocus Pocus by Focus here on WBAI, listener-supported radio in New York. And before that, we heard from Brain Damage Incorporated. And special thanks to Dave from Brooklyn and Mike from Wisconsin, whose last name is Johnson. And that's all that I'm going to say. It's just about midnight. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein, filling in for Robert Knight and the Earthwatch program. Speaking of Earthwatch, speaking of our planet and the environment, I don't know if anybody saw Calvin and Hobbes today. Boy, I love that comic strip. Calvin's walking through the woods with Hobbes and says, "I was reading about how countless species are being pushed towards extinction by man's destruction of forests. Sometimes I think the surest sign that intelligent life exists elsewhere in the universe is that none of it has tried to contact us." Yes, that's something can certainly be said there. And listening to the whole McDonald's thing, you know, you wonder, what's in a McDonald's hamburger? They don't even know. They don't know. I mean, you ask them and they say, "Oh, we can't give out that information. We have no idea what's in a McDonald's hamburger." Don't ask any questions like that. Amazing. So, the environment is a pressing issue. It's the issue that I hope most people were thinking about yesterday when they went to the polls. Although a lot of people, I think, were more concerned over things like taxes, which unfortunately don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes the environmentalists are accused of spending more money to preserve the environment, and that can be an unforgivable sin, I know. And in some cases, it costs them. We'll go into that a bit more later on as we talk about various environmental issues. I'd like to hear from some environmentalists out there. I'd also like to swerve the program carefully, you know, because it is slippery outside. Swerve the program over to the issues of high technology and telephones, because that's sort of my main interest is phones, computers, that kind of a thing. And I'd like to hear comments, observations on things concerning privacy, things concerning where it's all going, and some of the issues that perhaps you don't see in the media all that much. Well, this is your chance. Our number is 279-3400. We're going to demonstrate something for you now. This is actually a piece that I had to record earlier because the number that I'd like to demonstrate to you, this is a number that exists for everybody. Everybody can call this number, I believe. Up until recently, you couldn't call it in the New York City area, but I think now you can. And it's a number, it's actually two different numbers operated by the phone company, and they allow you to do all kinds of interesting things with a talking computer. And I will play the tape where I actually went through a very thorough demonstration of it. And the reason I can't go through a thorough demonstration of it live on the air right now is a very simple reason. The phone setup is such that I can't push those little buttons on the air. At least if I can, I haven't figured out how yet. And that's very important. You have to respond by pushing those little magic buttons. So, in order to be able to present this demonstration, I had to record it. And that's just the way it is. But we'll talk about it when we come back. We'll take your phone calls, 212-279-3400, here on WBAI in New York. Telephone repair, if you haven't called recently, has a brand new type of device. Listen to this.
Good evening. You have reached New York Telephone Repair Service.
At this time, we are experiencing a work stoppage.
To continue, press 1.
I will press 1.
This is an automated repair service line.
No kidding.
You will be asked a series of questions to help us repair the trouble. Most questions will require a yes or a no response. Yes is always indicated by pressing 1, no by pressing 2. In all cases, you will be given instructions. Should you require an agent at any time during this call, press 0. Please enter the area code and telephone number that you are reporting. If you make a mistake, press the star key. Enter the area code and telephone number now.
Now I'm going to enter my phone number here, 632-6901, and it will probably refuse to accept it since it's not a real telephone number.
You have entered area code 516 and phone number 632-6901. If this number is correct, press 1. If incorrect, press 2. Please hold on momentarily while we retrieve your repair records.
They're not going to find them.
Please hold for the next available agent.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what we figured would happen. The thing is, you have to enter a valid number that's served by New York Telephone, and that particular phone number is what we call a direct inward dial, or DID number. It's not the same thing. It's not a real phone number. It's hard to explain, but believe me, it's true. So I've taken the liberty of going through the phone book here, and I don't want to send repairmen to people's houses or anything like that. And I don't want to send repairmen anywhere. But I do want to demonstrate the capabilities of this system. And I figured, where else to send a repairman if we had to do it than to New York Telephone themselves? Because we're certainly having lots of trouble with them lately. Their phone system is really falling to pieces because they're all on strike. And the phone company doesn't seem at all interested in fixing the strike. In fact, I got into a very lengthy discussion last night with somebody at our monthly hacker meeting, who was telling me how 9X is trying to bust the union, you know, and after, I think it's 7 months or so, after 7 months they have to fold the union if they're still on strike, or some crap like that, I don't know. But it seems to me, my interpretation of this whole 9X strike is that it certainly doesn't hurt the phone company any to have them out on strike. I mean, look at it. Look at it from their point of view. They're not paying the people who are walking around on strike, and they get to accuse them of all kinds of sabotage, which may or may not be true, who knows, but it's good PR when that happens. And they charge full rates for us, the poor customers. We're not getting any discount on this, although there is starting finally to be some talk of getting a discount. So they're doing quite well, and there's nothing for us to do. There's no competition. There's nowhere else we can go. So we've got a phone number here. Let's see. How about 9X? Oh, no, New York Telephone. Part of Beta Telephone Repair Network is that it takes much longer for you, the customer, to tell what the problem is.
You have reached New York Telephone Repair Service.
I go through these endless menus.
At this time, we are experiencing a work stoppage.
To continue, press 1.
God forbid you don't have a touch-tone phone.
This is an automated repair service line. You will be asked a series of questions to help us repair the trouble. Most questions will require a yes or a no response. Yes is always indicated by pressing 1, no by pressing 2. In all cases, you will be given instructions.
There's no way to bypass this announcement, by the way.
Require an agent at any time during this call, press 0. Please enter the area code and telephone number that you are reporting. If you make a mistake, press the star key. Enter the area code and telephone number now.
Okay, 9X Business Centers.
You have entered area code 516 and phone number 9331881. If this number is correct, press 1. Please hold on momentarily while we retrieve your repair records. Thank you for waiting. We have your records. Let's continue.
Okay.
If you should need to start over at any time, press the star key. Are you having trouble getting a dial tone? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
What do you say? No trouble there.
Are you having trouble calling out? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
No trouble calling out.
Is there noise, static, or interference on the line? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
What do we say for that one? No.
Are you having trouble receiving calls? If yes, press 1.
Yes,
if
I am having trouble receiving calls. Because we're not getting enough calls. Okay, yes, definitely.
Is the trouble on all your telephones on this line? If yes, press 1. If no, press 2. If you do not know, press 3.
Yes.
Our test shows that your trouble may be caused by your telephone equipment. We must advise you that if our repair person visits your home and finds the problem to be caused by your telephone set, we cannot fix it. In addition, we must bill you for the visit. We suggest you try a different telephone on the line or have your phone checked by the manufacturer. Do you wish to continue with the trouble call?
This is the best part.
If yes, press 1. If no, press 2.
I'm going to say no and listen to what happens. It just hangs up on you. Now, can you imagine if a real person did that? Do you want to continue? No. That's it. It's all over. Incredible. Well, at least that worked. We didn't send a repair person out to 9X, though we certainly should have. Now, if you dial 611, you can do all kinds of neat things, I guess. What's fun about that, you might have noticed they said our tests indicate, which means they actually test the line while you're there. In fact, if you're on the line, you'll hear a click. And it's kind of neat the way they do that. And there's another system, too. I'm not sure if I can access that. I haven't tried yet, but I'm going to try now. One moment. Okay, this is the credit system.
Welcome to New York Telephone's automated credit system. To receive a credit for service difficulty within your local calling area, simply hang up at the sound of the tone. For additional credit assistance, please stay on the line.
We'll stay on the line. We get connected to another computer with a very staticky voice.
Welcome to the New York Telephone Automated Credit Bureau. Please use your touchtone telephone keypad to enter 1 now. Enter the area code and number that you called now. If you would like the credit applied to your telephone number, enter 1 now. Otherwise, enter 2 now.
I'll enter 2.
Please hold, and an operator will answer.
Oh, no. No humans. No humans allowed. Now, what's really amazing, I guess I should demonstrate this because you'll see how unfair and unjust it is firsthand. Let's just pretend I called this thing, and I don't have a touch-tone phone. A lot of people don't have touch-tone phones.
Welcome to New York Telephone's automated credit system. To receive a credit for service difficulty within your local calling area, simply hang up at the sound of the tone. For additional credit assistance, please stay on the line.
Okay, now I don't have a touch-tone phone, so I can't press numbers or anything like that. So I'm just going to stay on and talk to a person.
Welcome to the New York Telephone Automated Credit Bureau. Please use your touch-tone telephone keypad to enter 1 now.
Don't have a touch-tone phone. I can't do that.
Please hold, and an operator will answer.
Sounds fair enough to me.
We're sorry. Due to a 9X work stoppage, the credit bureau is temporarily closed at this time. If you require credit for a service difficulty, please record the details and contact the credit bureau immediately following the work stoppage. Credit will be applied at that time. We apologize for any inconvenience. Thank you.
Give me a bleeding break here. We're supposed to write down all of the times that 9X screws up and give it all to them at the end of this strike? That's preposterous. That's amazing. It's simply unbelievable. So if you don't subscribe to their and you know they still have people calling you nagging you to subscribe for touch-tone service and all that crap, why can't they put them to work taking the credit information? I just don't understand it. So a lot of people aren't going to report the trouble because they don't keep track of it, you know, for 4 months or however long it's been, and as a result, 9X will simply clean up as they've been doing. Oh well, enough about that. Of course, if you want repair information, you want to see what that system can do. It's 611 if you want credit, 211, and that's the latest in technology. And it's kind of interesting too that they've introduced those things now after the strike to replace people, even though it doesn't really replace anyone. All it replaces is the person that the repair thing, for instance. It just replaces the person that takes that information and can talk to you back and forth a little better than the computer can. It doesn't replace the people that have to go out and fix the thing, and it allows for a lot of false reports to be filed. So it's not really saving anybody anything. But it is fun, isn't it? Our telephone number is 212-279-3400, as we abuse the phone company in much the same way we've been abused over the last several months. You know, I was in Europe when this whole thing started, when the phone strike started. And actually, back then, it was strikes all over the place. It was strikes, in southern part of the country, out west. But for some reason, 9X is the only company that has not settled. And, you know, I keep reading in the paper. And by the way, if somebody has the 9X, the number that you call to get the information on the strike, it's sort of like a news line, please feel free to call in with that number, because not only will I call it, but I will share that number with other people, because we certainly have the right to know what's going on. Although, I should warn you that you call that number, usually they just say something like, nothing's happening, goodbye, and they hang up. You know, it's a recording, but it doesn't really say much more than that. But I heard about this thing. I was, I think, in Amsterdam or something when word of the strike hit. Well, actually, word of the strike didn't hit. I tried to call home. I tried to call directory assistance, and the poor Dutch operators were going crazy, you know, trying to get through and waiting up to 10, 15 minutes for information to come online. This was when things were really bad. They didn't have anybody staffing the place. But here it is. It's November, you know, August, September, October, November, 4 months. And I mean, come on, you know, if this was a major corporation with competition, you know, they would be out of business by now. I mean, look what happened to Eastern Airlines, Continental, that whole thing, you know. It hurts when people go out on strike, but there's something different with the phone company. You see, AT&T did this back in 1983. They had a strike. In fact, they've had strikes before, but 1983 was their last mighty corporate strike, I call it. Reason being, 1983 was pre-divestiture, before there was the breakup of AT&T, and before all the competition started getting equal access. When that happened, suddenly AT&T had competition. So when their workers went out on strike, and they started giving substandard service, they suddenly had to be concerned. Now, back in 1983, they didn't really have to be concerned, because When the workers went out on strike, they stopped paying the workers, so they saved all that money. They charged the customers full price for substandard service, so they continued to get the money that they were getting before. And the money that they lost through non-working payphones and lack of new orders and things like that was minimal compared to what they gained. Now that can't happen anymore with AT&T because there's competition. And that's probably the best reason I've ever heard for the breakup of the Bell system. You know, it's confusing as hell. Yes, yes, I know how confusing it is to make a phone call. But it was well-intentioned. It was a good idea in the long run, I think. Now, New York Telephone. You may or may not know this, but there is no competition for New York Telephone. Now, it's very easy to tell because when you pick up your phone and make a local call, you only have one choice. You can only make that call on New York Telephone. You can't say, oh, what company am I going to make my local call on? You know, who's going to install my phone line? You don't have that choice. It's got to be New York Telephone. So I think it's high time that there was some competition there. Also, along the same lines, high time there was some competition with cable TV companies and anyone else where there's just one company doing it. It's just not fair. That's the way I feel about that. Anyway, our telephone number is 212-279-3400. If you call now, though, you'll probably get a busy signal because we do seem to have a lot of calls. But I do want to hear what other people have to say about these matters and about anything else relating to technology in the modern world. It's 21 minutes after 12 o'clock. Again, the number 279-3400. Good evening.
Oh, good evening. Let me get my radio. I just wanted to say, Emmanuel, that I heard your show on that Monday night that Peter wasn't on a few months back when you did this thing off the hook.
Uh-huh.
On Monday, late Monday night, and I wanted to say that I'm a long-time supporter of the Phone Freaks from going back to the 60s and of what you're doing, and I'd like to see you get that show there. Get it, not take over Shelton Walden's position, because at the time, of course, he wasn't there, but get something like that late at night.
Yeah, well, I'd like to do a program pretty much like the program I'm doing right now, where we just talk about these things because it's something that hits us every day, you know. And I'm going to demonstrate how it hits us because there are, you know, there's little devices, there's little databases, there's all kinds of. Sometimes they're neat. They're only neat though if you know how they work and know what they're capable of doing and have access to them. But they're not so neat when they're only in the hands of you know, the government or big corporations or other people that use them against you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think there's not enough discussion of that, especially on BAI, where it's only our only place where we could talk about these things at all. And the computer show addresses the technical aspects, but this you will address the political and social aspects of alternative technology as well as the technical, and show their interrelationship and the importance of people educating themselves about these things and not being technology illiterate.
Right, yeah. And I don't want to, you know, compare programs, but the, you know, computer show is, I would consider
a great service. I'm not putting them down. I just,
right.
They're not filling another, there's another gap to be filled, and I think you did a great job that night, and I would like to see you continue to do it.
Yeah, well, I hope I would be able to. Where are you calling from?
From Lower Manhattan.
Lower Manhattan, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, is there anything on your mind regarding high tech or anything like that, or any concerns?
I'm an avid supporter. I've been active in promoting it, and
Well, now for the benefit of the listeners that might not know what that means, could you sort of define what you mean by avid supporter?
Starting in the 60s, I guess one of the things that, I don't know if I should say this, but on the air, but I did pass out the lists and stuff, and
the lists? What are the lists?
The Phone Freak lists, and I pass out all the information I could on the black boxes and the white boxes and
uh-huh.
all that stuff, and continue to.
That's the old stuff. The stuff doesn't work anymore.
And in the present, just distributing literature around it and trying to educate myself on doing things alternatively I'm interested in alternative energy. So I'm sort of trying to develop ways of having decentralized sources of energy that could a community could generate on its own and not have to depend on Con Edison.
Uh-huh. So, well, that sounds like a worthy thing. What would you say to those people that would say that you're just you know, involved in defrauding the industry, and you know, you're not doing something that's legal. What do you say to that?
I would say that possibly there's some argument in that, but I would say that let's pit the Davids and the Goliaths here, and we're the Davids and they're the Goliaths, and if we open up their books, we could probably demonstrate that they've perpetrated more fraud on the public and more hurt on the public than the public could possibly or has possibly done today.
That's a very good point. And just looking at New York Telephone alone, you know, look at the strike. Look at what they've accomplished with the strike. Look at all the money they're making there. Obviously, I can't say exactly how much money they're making, but it's common sense. You know, they're not paying all those workers. They're obviously not filling their shoes, and they're providing substandard service at full prices. Now, there's that. There's all kinds of rip-off services. Like, I don't know if you got this thing in your phone bill recently about, you know, come January 1st, we won't be able to maintain your wires anymore unless you pay us a certain amount of money per month to maintain your wires. Now, you know, it's common sense. Ask yourself
that.
Yeah, of course, but ask yourself this question. When was the last time something went wrong with the wire inside your wall? I don't know anybody where something went wrong with the wire inside the wall. It's money for nothing again.
Box that's in my house, there's like a wire that runs from my phone, where my phone jack is, to the window where it runs out into the outside, up into the roof and stuff.
Right.
And there's like a little box there, and that little box just wore out, and they had to come in here and repair it just like a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really bad person to ask about that.
Well, I mean, he's
broke out of my mind, so like it was good for me that it was possible I could get the service. You know what I mean? And I'm not much of an electrician. I'm really a mechanic.
Right, but I don't think that would fall under the wire maintenance charge, because I really don't know of any instance where that's been used. You know?
Actually, I wasn't charged. No, it did fall under that charge.
Are you sure it was the wire maintenance? Because
I don't know.
If you're talking about that little box...
What is the difference we're talking about here?
Yeah, are you talking about that little box known as the interface that they put on the wall?
Yes.
Well, that will continue to be covered. That's part of the phone company. That's where their wire ends.
Okay,
they're talking about the wire inside the walls of your house that go past that point.
See how ignorant? I'm just saying. See how ignorant somebody even who tries to keep up.
Yeah, it's it's crazy. I mean,
that's amazing. I had no idea.
But that's not the only example. There's things like gold numbers. If you ask for a certain number, okay, like let's say I want a number with a 2 at the end of it, okay, they'll say, okay, we can get you a number with a 2 at the end of it. It used to be no problem to do that. They just went in the back, found a number, and gave it to you. Now they charge you for what is known as a gold number. It's like a $20 fee to start with, and then a monthly maintenance fee. You got to pay to maintain your number ending with a 2, you know? It's the most insane thing, and they make money for nothing.
Well, we need a cop. We need a citizen's utility.
We need educated people, and that's hopefully what we can accomplish here tonight, is to educate some people.
Yeah. Well, just my point. So thanks a lot, and really keep it up.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
279-3400 is our phone number. Good evening.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I turned on the radio here.
Okay.
I called in. I heard you mentioned something about privacy before.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to like scanners, you know, VHF, UHF.
Oh, that can be illegal, you know, if you listen to the wrong things.
Yeah. I'm also a SysOp on CompuServe.
Uh huh.
And not the forum that I'm a SysOp of, but another forum there, Hamnet. There's usually a pretty good discussion. It's been continuous, I'd say, for the past, I don't know, geez, at least the past 6 months. There's been a nice thread there going on about the ECPA.
Yeah,
and
that's Electronic Communications Privacy Act of, I believe, 1986.
Right.
It's been a while.
The general consensus is that if you have a cellular phone, basically it's about as private as standing out on a street corner and and hollering out to the world your innermost thoughts.
Exactly. All the worse for a mobile phone of any sort.
Yeah, it's, you know, even with these scanners now, like, I have the scanner that I can, personally, I think it's pretty boring. Most of the stuff that you can hear on the cellular network.
Are you kidding? Drug deals? You hear prostitution? All kinds of things, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, now I'm out here in the burbs. I'm out here in Jersey, and I'll tell you, I don't hear any of that stuff.
Oh, no, you got to drive into Manhattan to hear the good stuff.
Yeah, I guess. But I, you know, I don't hear too much of that. I hear all the, you know, I can listen to all the cop stuff in Manhattan and stuff like this, you know, and
uh-huh.
and having them chasing guys around. And
you know, it's interesting. That's just to backtrack for a second. You mentioned cops and things like that. When I was in Europe, I think it was in London, actually. If you turn around on the FM dial, first of all, you hear a lot of pirates and you hear the regular BBC stations, but right there, smack in the middle of the FM dial, are the police, you know, just like chatting away about various things and, you know, on their two-way radios, right in the middle of the FM dial.
Huh.
It's really funny. But,
I've never been to Europe, but it's funny how a lot of the scanner manufacturers have blocked out that certain range of frequencies on their radios.
Right, they have, you know, out of obeying the law, even though it's a kind of ridiculous law. But it's very easy, I understand, to bypass that.
Oh, it's a piece of cake. Basically, it's just snipping one lead off of a diode that blocks that out. And any of the radios that have that 800 megahertz capability, that have that section blocked out, all of them are easily modified by anybody with a little pair of wire nippers.
Yeah, well, a lot of people do have those little wire nippers, and God bless them all, I say.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. What I've been trying to work on lately, and there's been a lot of this going around, is a lot of the radio teletype stuff that's out there on like shortwave and stuff.
Right. Now, again, for people who have shortwave radios, if you're tuning around, you'll hear these things sometimes that sound like airplanes, right?
Yeah, a lot of times they'll sound like airplanes or actually just... The airplane sounds are actually... what's the term for that now? It's late. I'm sorry.
High-speed data transmission of some sort? Or?
Oh, no, that's not it. The high-speed data transmission sounds just like a modem, you know, like a computer's modem.
Yeah.
Ever heard what one of those sounds like? It's kind of a screeching kind of noise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that out there. I could kind of tune in on some of those things. But most of that type stuff is amateurs, is ham radio operators. They have that capability now. They have their own bulletin boards now that are accessible. Rather than going through phone lines, you access them over the radio now. But there's also things like, well, one of my favorites was just a couple weeks back, right after the DEA moved into Colombia, I happened to stumble on a set of their frequencies. And it was it really, really knocked me out because I found this RTTY, radio teletype signal, where it really shouldn't be. And I you know, got the decoder going, and hey, geez, it's not even encrypted or anything, you know? It's not, it's just out there in plain text. And I started, you know, copying some of the stuff going through, and I said, well, gee, you know, if this frequency's here, then, well, maybe if I try this frequency over here. And so sure enough, there was a QSO going on between the DEA agent down in Colombia and his home base in, I would guess it's Washington, D.C., but I'm really not sure. And, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was able to correlate the fact that he was using the same kind of, I don't know, not really passwords, but kind of call signs, you know. He was using the same identifiers on both the voice and also on the RTTY hookup, and I got a real kick out of that because it's really rare that you'd ever catch something like that go through. The only thing I figured is that they just didn't have the there in Colombia. They just hadn't had the time. This was all really fresh at the time. They didn't have the time to set up all their hi-fi encryption gear yet. But that's also part of our discussions is people picking up on different. Discussions on how to decipher some of the stuff that's out there now. And
yeah, well, it helps if it's not encrypted in the first place. Now, what did you say the nature of the transmission was? Was it very sensitive?
Not too sensitive. I don't know. He gave me well, this one might interest you. He gave me the phone number where he was down there. And
uh-huh.
The listeners probably out there. I told Bob Fass's story a while back. I remember Bob Fass used to get Captain Crunch on his airwaves.
Hey, I hung out with Captain Crunch in Amsterdam. What a character he is.
Yeah, eons ago. This is going way back now. And he did all kinds of neat little tricks with bouncing his voice around the world. And so you get the delay effect, you know. He'd talk, and then he said, well, because he's going through so many networks and it's going around through so many circuits that there was actually this, I don't know, probably about a 2 to 3 second delay involved because it was going through so many different networks.
Well, I'll tell you, in the early days of Sprint, which was one of the first alternate phone companies, first it was MCI, and then I believe Sprint was the second one, I remember calling up a Sprint access number. This was before they had the toll-free 950 numbers. There was an actual phone number that you would call to get a Sprint dial tone. And it was terrible because if you were to call this and then call your number after entering your code and that number was busy, you still had to pay for the call to get to the dial tone. It was really a disadvantage.
Well, that's like the cellular service, don't you? You pay for...
Oh, yeah.
Every time you pick that thing up, you pay, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even on incoming calls, it's, you know, it hasn't quite reached the stage where it's even remotely considerable for me yet. But on the old Sprint system, what you could do was you could call back the Sprint number, then enter your code again, call the Sprint number again. In fact, you could call the Sprint number in California, you could call the Sprint number in Boston. And I remember doing this about 13 times, and then calling a friend of mine who was down the block. And the crazy part was, by the time this person heard my voice, it took about 30 seconds. And you should have heard it when I hung up. You know, all the tweeps and chunks. It was incredible.
Yeah, one last thing, and then I'll go. There's one of the threads. One of the messages on the computer thread mentioned that the San Francisco Narcotics Department was going over to, because they did not want people with scanners eavesdropping on them, that they were going over to cellular phones for privacy,
for secure communications
for the San Francisco Narcotics Division of the Police Department.
Now, it makes you really feel secure in knowing that law enforcement have such a
they have such
an enlightened outlook,
grasp on secure, what's secure and what's not secure. Although I don't hear too much of it out here. I used to live in Arizona, and I would listen to the narcotics guys down there. They'd be tracking people all over the place down there, and if you'd hear some really wild stuff.
Yeah.
The best one was that one night they had busted this guy, and he had a car, some kind of Chevy, and it had a trunk full of drugs. I don't know whether it was pot or coke or what, but they said that, well, all the evidence is in this trunk. They called in a uniform police unit to come in there, and they said, okay, we're going to take this guy down and book him. You guys stay here and watch the car. About 20 minutes later, they came back, and they said, where's the car? And as it turns out, the uniform unit was watching the wrong car, and somebody else had shown up. Now, who knows, maybe it was even somebody with a radio like mine had just shown up and driven the car away. And here, the police officers were just sitting right there, so... Here these guys are. They got these two guys downtown, ready to be processed, and now they have no evidence.
Oh yes, you gotta write those stories down. Those are great.
Okay.
Thanks very much for calling, sir.
I've enjoyed your shows in the past, and I hope to hear you on there a lot more. And I'd also, as somebody who messes around with computers and stuff, I believe at one point. It's, what is that, the 2600 Club or something like that?
2600 Magazine, yeah. It's sort of a loosely affiliated group of hackers that puts out a magazine.
Some phone numbers for some BBSs that they ran, but none of them ever seemed...
No, it's interesting. Maybe this is a good opportunity to get some people who are interested in running bulletin boards, because we had a bunch of bulletin board networks, and it just kind of, like, dissolved into thin air. You know, people just sort of got busy with other things, and it just happens sometimes. If you're interested in running a bulletin board system for a bunch of computer hackers, I'll tell you one of the absolute rules, though, that we have is that privacy must be maintained. Privacy for the individual person that calls in. We don't require people to give their real names, because we don't think that's our responsibility to know who is on the other end of the phone line.
Right,
and we think it's your right as somebody calling in to be anonymous.
Yeah, so, as far as public BBS systems are concerned, the only ones that I use are ones that I could just log on to without filling out forms and waiting to be cleared by sysops and stuff like that.
Right. It's a form of invasion of your privacy, I think.
Absolutely.
So what we have is a system where you just call in, say who you want to be, and you're given an account, period. And that's if you want to run a system like that, I guess you can call 2600-516-751-2600 and leave your name and number, and someone will get back to you, and you could be a system operator before you know it. But you have to have a computer and a modem and that kind of thing.
That number went by too fast. Give me that number again.
516-751-2600, 2600. And believe me, we got that number before they started charging for gold numbers. We wouldn't be able to afford that number now.
Okay, thanks. I'm enjoying the show.
Okay, take care. 279-3400. You know, speaking of cordless phones, I don't know if anyone saw the article in the paper today, in Newsday, about a cordless phone. Yeah, it's called A Convict's High-Tech Appeal. When Peter Feta used the cordless telephone in his upstate home, he didn't realize that such calls could be easily overheard, even on an FM radio receiver. That's right, the old ones you can hear on FM radio receivers. And the new ones show up in other parts of the radio dial, but they're still just as easy to hear. One of this guy's listeners was an off-duty New York City police officer. You know, off-duty New York City police officers are everywhere, you know? If you stand up in the middle of a room and say, hey, all the off-duty New York City police officers, stand up, you know? Those that don't shoot you will stand up. It's incredible. One of Feta's listeners was an off-duty New York City police officer who began to suspect his neighbor was involved in drugs after hearing Feta's conversations on his own cordless phone. Now, that gives me an idea. If you have a cordless phone, start having all these conversations that will make anyone listening think that you're involved in drugs. And then they'll go crazy following you and figuring out what you're doing, and you can just, you know, have kind of like a fun movie script type of adventure with it. Anyway, the officer taped some of the calls and turned them over to Rockland County officials, who used them to get a wiretap on Feta's cordless telephone, and successfully prosecuted him on drug conspiracy charges last year. Feta is serving a 3-year-to-life sentence on the felony charge. That's a rather odd sentence, 3 years to life. Whew. Now, however, Feta is appealing his conviction on the grounds that the officer's tapes, made without a warrant, were illegal and poisoned the prosecution's case. What do you think? I think it's a valid reason if you believe in due process and that kind of thing. Now,
once you connect,
yeah,
you don't need a touchdown phone. You can even tape record their numbers and play them in.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of ways to do it. I could just, yeah, I could generate the tones, or I could connect to somebody else and ask them to generate the tones.
Another scam. In fact, that's a lie. I have a case going now, or about to, with NYPER, and I can prove the credit system is gypping you. I know it is.
How so?
Okay. It's on tape, number one, even or not. It's not even on disk. All right. I'll give you an example. You have a wrong number or poor transmission, and I'll show you how a way to prove to a poor transmission. It's built into the modem. But we'll come back. I have a lot of things, boy. All right. But these are very practical, everyday New York tell things, and how to get credit. I'll give you the idea, and you put two and two together. Okay?
Right. Sounds good.
First is this. You make a call at, say, 7 a.m., and you get a poor connection, wrong number, disconnect. Okay? So you get your... You want your 4 cents credit. Okay. You wait a while. Then you have calling the same number, another problem, at peak rate, say noon. Now, when you go to ask for credit, I'm sorry, it's the other way around. The poor connection was the later time. Let's say I had a poor connection, but it was at 7 o'clock. There's no way the operator can distinguish. So you'll only get 4 cents credit, not six. Follow me?
I think so.
Okay. In other words, you had two poor connections to the same number.
Right.
One at the cheaper time and one at the higher time. When you request credit, they go in sequential order.
I see.
Disregard. All they just care about is the day.
Okay.
Now, put two and two together, the left hand of Collie. I once formed my own company, and I used the Indian Ma Bell, which is Shiva, which is a good symbol for nexus and then connection and so on. You have the many hands of Shiva, the goddess.
Yeah.
Oh, the goddess, all right. That was my logo. Shared holistic integrated virtual access, which meant nothing. But, all right. Try powers of two. And here, why? Because they have interesting numbers. One is the NAT number. You're on the island, right? But at least for 718, let's tell what the 958 number is. It's in the public domain, and it's informational only. It's in the Bell Journal. You know what it is, right?
958 tells you your phone number. Although, I've noticed a few payphones I've tried that from, it stopped working.
No, it works fine in 718 and 212.
That's good.
What you have to do first on some of them is dial 660, and then hang up, and then do the 958.
Okay.
You'll either get a ring or a busy. Hang up, and then come in.
Okay, that's good to know.
All right. Notice, though, that 3-1 is one less. Now we get into powers of 2, 3, 4, 5. Make up a table like this, not to exceed 4 digits. Do you have a little calculator handy?
Just my head, but I'll...
Okay,
I'll
but try. When you get one, you know, whenever you get around to it, into the general pubic out there.
Okay.
Do powers of 2 and powers of 2 minus 1. 2, 4, and those are very interesting numbers. Those are word links. In other words, when you dial a particular number, it may not be a number. It's a storage location within the operating system of the computer. It is a computer. That's what divestiture was also about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all computer run. When you hear your dial tone, that's a computer you're hearing.
Yeah, well, except on old crossbar exchanges.
Right, which are rapidly being depleted.
Right. And by the way, if you have call waiting, which is a ripoff, dial any number to keep the line busy, tap, press the switch hook, and regardless of polarity, you have touch tone, although you block out the call waiting, but you may need it for rapid redialing.
Mm-hmm. You could, by the way, you can emulate any of those custom calling features yourself.
Oh, sure.
Call waiting, you can simply get a second phone line known as an auxiliary line, which only costs
$5 more.
It only costs $5 a month, though.
$5 a month for call waiting and $6. Now, there are two types of second line.
Right, but I'm saying an auxiliary phone line on your residential line will only cost you about another $5 a month, and you can have a
less than that.
You can have a service that costs nothing, known as call hunting, which will allow the if your phone is busy.
Call forwarding.
Right, if your phone is busy, it will jump to the next line. That doesn't cost anything, so you can emulate.
That's right.
Call
everything
waiting.
That's in the central office can be on a chip in your phone from Radio Shack from whatever.
Right, and you can emulate three-way by pushing down two buttons on your two-line phone.
See, three-way isn't true three-way. When
no,
you
it's
pay
not.
For three-way, it's not conference calling. You can't initiate the two other parties.
And
one has to initiate you.
You also can't drop the first party.
Mm-hmm. They have a new service now where you can have an intercom system in your house.
Uh-huh.
But it blocks out call waiting. I'll tell you how to do it for free.
Okay.
I can only speak for Manhattan and Brooklyn. This is always on the ESS2s or higher. And one of the ways you can find out is simply A, ask, they have to tell you. And B, dial some error messages, and the ending end will hear A1 or A2. And I'll give you some of the T3s in New York. If you want to get into ISDN, I have a nice, you can build your own phone for practically nothing. If you want, I'll send in a printed circuit from Radio Electronics from 2 months ago.
That'd be good if you could send that in. In fact, let me give the address here so that anyone who wants to send stuff like that in would be...
What was that number you gave?
That was the number for the magazine, the Hacker magazine.
2600?
Right.
Yeah, how do I subscribe?
Okay, well, you can. I can't give subscription information now, but I can give you a number to call for more information.
Information now? You can't mention a price.
No, I can't mention a price, right.
No, but I'm saying, how does one contact?
One would call the phone number, which I'll give to you.
Right.
It's 516-751-2600.
Yeah, on the golden number, so-called. If you had your own number and
right.
say you had it disconnected for non-payment.
Right.
When it reinstated, they were going to try to charge you golden number.
Yeah, that was the most incredible thing. They would charge you for a golden number because you were requesting a certain number, that is, your old number.
Okay.
And
also,
that's crazy.
I know. So try do powers of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, okay, and 1 minus it, and especially on lower Manhattan exchanges.
Okay.
It doesn't work anymore, but I have the direct numbers for 911, 61, it used to be 2509, 211, you know, and so on. The nice thing is you bypass the switch and you only pay the regular price.
Okay.
I hope I'm not being traced.
Oh, I'm sure they're closing in on all of us. But it's information, and information
yeah,
should be
right.
passed
around.
You're
not a member of any police at the federal, state, or city level, are you?
I'm sorry?
You personally a member of a police organization or federal?
If I am, I'm doing a damn good job of fooling myself.
Yeah, I mean, do you have shiny black shoes?
As a matter of fact, I do, but that's only because I ruined a pair.
$9 at Modell's, but I'm a poor person. What can I say?
Listen, I'm going to go to some more calls.
Right, no, really, this is good. Can you hang on for 2 seconds?
2 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, just quickly. Also, there's some interesting modem numbers for ordering, and those are also powers of two. If you want to make some money, strangely enough, Radio Shack has some good books, and which one is, can I recommend it? One is on packet radio, which I just got into.
Okay.
First, there's a satellite. It's a freebie. You can go all around the world, and it goes in a polar orbit. Two, you can go at high speed. Under a half watt, you can send live video images. You can go about half a mile for the city. Three, I want to talk just for 2 seconds, mention extremely low frequency, grounded radio transmission. that?
What frequency are we talking about?
Okay. In other words, on your short wave, they have low frequency.
Are you talking about long wave?
Long wave, extremely long wave.
Okay.
And it transmits through soil pretty well.
Okay.
So get yourself real ground. In other words, pound it in at least 6 feet. If you can get copper or aluminum, and if you can't, try to put two in. You'll hear some very interesting stuff just listening.
Okay.
In fact, you'll hear phone conversations. And two, if you have a neighbor within a few blocks, you have free transmission probably to that person. As far as encryption, I have a good Radio Shack article.
Okay, why don't you give us, what are the titles that you want to recommend?
I don't have them offhand, but can I give a P.O. box if anybody wants to?
Sure, go ahead.
It's P.O. box 440, Brooklyn, New York, 11210. And if you send a self-addressed envelope, I'll be happy to send you Xerox of encryption articles. The same way, one thing we didn't talk about quickly, subcarriers on FM, like BAI itself.
Yeah, we do have a subcarrier. I think it's to a financial institution or something.
And do you know what one of them is?
No, I don't.
Found a subcarrier encrypted from Merrill Lynch.
Are you kidding? Oh, my God.
Oh, and it's an easy encryption. It's a little harder than Caesar code, but not much.
Uh-huh.
And they're sending stuff, and that's inside trader information.
Well, it's sharing a frequency.
Satellite. You can buy satellite time.
Sharing a frequency with our programs here in BAI.
I'll show you how to. There's a circuit for that, too. It's a standard radio. Let me recommend some books at Radio Shack, really. And here's the last one. I have not paid a phone bill in years. Call up. It only works for your own. If whatever borough you're in, use it. If you call up the business and or the billing number and ask the operator what the charge is, she'll give you a charge. Okay, if you dial the number, you're not charged if it's under 5 minutes. And then if you were to dial 211, you get the credit anyway.
Interesting.
And the credit system only recognizes valid exchanges. You wind up with more credits than calls that you ever made.
Wow.
It doesn't go below negative zero. So you'll never pay for an intralatter call again. And that goes for 976 numbers, not 550.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for calling. We do have to get on to some more calls, but again, there's obviously a person who has done his homework, who is not letting the information age pass him by, and I salute you, sir. Our number is 212-279-3400. We want to hear from folks out there that are interested in this kind of thing, and by the look of the switchboard here, I'd say there's quite a few of them. 279-3400. This is Emmanuel Goldstein filling in for Robert Knight, who is in California and hence cannot do the program tonight, program normally known as Earthwatch. We're taking a look at Earth in a different sort of way. We're going to get into some other topics too tonight, but we certainly have a lot to talk about here, and obviously a lot of other people do too. 279-3400. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a question about this interesting topic.
Okay.
I'm on an old, what I guess is called a Crossbar 5 exchange or a similar old...
Well, I can tell you right away, how does your telephone ring sound when you're calling a number in your exchange?
Well...
Is it a really deep baritone ring?
I know. I can sample it for you if you want.
Okay, why not? I'll just turn down the touch tone so that people who know how to decode them won't dial your number or something. Okay, well, he's still dialing.
There you go.
Okay, that's a crossbar number one. Nice
one.
Deep baritone ring there.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. I like the sound of that. It's all kinds of static in between the rings, right?
A one or a five?
Five's generally a higher pitched. I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty certain that's a one.
Okay, well, here's the deal. They seem to have a very interesting circuit on this number.
Yeah.
For equal access. You know how...
Oh, okay. Say no more.
Yeah, let me just... You know how the equal access has the 10 triple X numbers they're called?
10XXX plus the long distance number. It'll route you to your long distance company of choice.
The interesting thing about this, and then I'm going to want your explanation. I just want to, let you hear what's so interesting about this. For one thing... you don't get the scratchy sound between when you dial the numbers like an old crossbar would. The dial tone is muddy. also. It sounds a lot more like muddy or muffled. But then the interesting thing is, if you flip your switch hook around a little bit, you can sometimes knock that off.
Exactly. I do the same thing. I've got an adjunct frame. That's what it's called, by the way. It's called an adjunct frame. It's meant to emulate ESS, electronic switching.
But only on outgoing.
Oh, yeah, only on outgoing. I mean, the ring still sounds the same, and you can't get things like call waiting, but you can get overseas direct international dialing, and you can get access to different long-distance phone companies. And the purpose is to bring it in line with Judge Green's order to have equal access everywhere. So it allows you that, but if you toggle your switch hook enough times, you'll bypass the adjunct frame, and you'll get the old dial tone back and the scratchiness between the numbers because, you know, you'll be bypassing that machine.
Or the other thing you can do, sometimes it's hard to get a dial tone, but if you knock the switch hook around a little bit, you'll knock it off into what equals a 1,
uh-huh.
And you'll be into the scratchiness. But the only thing is, with that, you can only call into, I'll say I'm in 718, and you can call into 212 only.
Everything else you call, you'll get an error message.
Yeah, if
well, try this then, sir. Try calling an operator and saying, hey, I'm having trouble calling this number. I'm not sure if it even shows up on billing if you do that.
Now, do you know, there's two other things. I don't want to take up too much time, but do you know anything about the, I know most 800 numbers now are supposed to have ANI or call identification.
A lot of them do, but I've never actually seen it used on an 800 call. I heard a report, and this I have not heard firsthand from anybody, but I've heard a report where American Express was using an 800 number to identify their callers before they picked up the phone. In other words, you would call American Express, and someone on the other end would pick up the phone and say, good morning, Mr. Smith, how are you? And it freaked so many people out to hear that, and they reacted violently against it, so they stopped doing it. Especially if you're calling from Mr. Smith's number about your American Express bill, it would totally confuse everybody.
Right.
I don't know if that really happened, and
I know that some do. I do know that it was rumored, at least for a long, long time, that many of the other companies besides AT&T, like Sprint or MCI, that offer long-distance watts or whatever you call it, 800 numbers, that they were the ones who were running that type of a service, and that AT&T was not.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I'm just wondering, what you knew about that. And the one other thing is, what in New York is the ringback number?
Okay, in New York City, and this doesn't always work. In fact, it seems to be working less and less these days. 660 usually gets you a dial tone, and then you have to dial something after that. I've seen 1121 work sometimes. I've seen a combination of stars and pounds and things like that.
Really, so it could be there's no definite.
It's hard to say. I have not found anybody in New Jersey yet that can make their phone ring back.
I know how to do it in New Jersey.
How do you do it?
In certain parts of New Jersey. This is very funny, actually.
Okay.
If you're in, like, I guess the most, from what I know, it's most of the New York metropolitan, you know, like Bergen, Passaic, Union, Hudson, those counties. And I guess mostly where 10NJB works. This is really funny. You call 550, of all things.
Really?
Or 551. It's been known to be those two. 550, 551. Your last four digits.
Okay.
And then it puts you into a dial tone. That dial tone is unusable, but what you do is, like, flip your switch hook for a second, and when you lift it back up, you're into a second dial tone, which sounds like the tone you get when your receiver's off the hook for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you hang up your phone, and it'll ring back.
Okay.
And then what you do is answer it, and the tone is there, or you can, if you flip the hook again after you answer it, your phone will ring, it'll repeat the process.
I see. That's, okay, that's good to know. That works in New Jersey, 550 or 551 plus the last four digits.
Right, right. And,
Do you have a number to find out your phone number in New Jersey?
That I That I'd like to find out.
Yeah, because in New York, most places in New York, it's 958, and it's fairly reliable. It's incredible. You know, with all this invasion of privacy, one thing the operator will not do is tell you your phone number. I can't ever understand why that is, you know. Obviously,
yeah, they're always, you know, concerned that you might be somewhere, you know, at a phone that the party wouldn't want whoever the person is to have the telephone number.
Right.
Like to...
Well, it's usually very easy to get it. You simply call somebody person to person collect who refuses the charges and says, you know, can I call him back? And they give you the phone number that way.
One of the funniest things that happened, by the way, a long time ago, before Sprint was really funny, because before Sprint operators had your number on a display screen.
Yeah.
you could call them up and make a collect call to coin phones. They wouldn't have your number, and they didn't have it registered.
That is true.
Which was really funny. You could do that for a long period of time.
Let me tell you something that just happened to me about a week ago. And I don't do this kind of thing. I don't call collect. I don't call payphones collect. Just, you know, for the joy of it. I do it for experimental purposes to see if it works. And I happened to know a phone number that was a payphone, and I found this new type of payphone device where you pick up the phone and you dial 0 plus the number you're calling, and then you get the little fading dial tone that sounds like the AT&T tone,
right.
Except it wasn't the AT&T tone. It was a really lousy reproduction of it. And so I wanted to make a collect call, so I hit 0.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of getting a human, I got a computer. The computer said, "This is the operator. To make a collect call, press 1. To get an operator, press 3. Okay, so I hit a 1 to make a collect call, and then it said, "Please record your name at the sound of the tone," and gave me about 5 seconds to record my name. I recorded my name, and then it dialed the number, and it didn't care what number I gave it. It would dial no matter what. So I, you know, pay phones, corporations that didn't accept collect calls, it dialed the number, and then when someone picked up, it said, "Hello, I have a collect call from," and it played my name, and said, "To accept, press 1, to not accept, press 0. I don't know what happens if you don't do anything.
You know what that might be? That might be ITT.
It very well might be.
I think the number... I know one of the numbers they use, I think, is 1-800-275-1000 that you could do that with.
Uh-huh.
I think that's their main, computer... their little central number there or something. That might be it. But one other thing about the equal access provided on this exchange, which was really kind of a lifesaver, was with the San Francisco earthquake.
Oh, yeah. I had no trouble getting through to San Francisco because I knew other phone companies I could use.
Well,
and that's another great excuse for divestiture, for having competition. You don't have to play by AT&T's rules. AT&T said, "Oh, we're cutting off all the incoming calls because we feel it's best." They may have been right, but, you know, it may not have been right for everybody. And if you're smart enough to know how to route the call in a different way, then you can do it. You know, I had no trouble with other companies getting through to San Francisco.
And how about, you know, AT&T's ads about the intelligent network and this and that, and how reliable they are, and, you know, I mean, and then they go and shut the service off.
Well, I mean, you know, I can understand why they did it, but still, I think there should be options, and in this case, I'm glad there were.
When you promote yourself like that, you know. And then the other thing that was really misleading, this is a total joke. I don't know if you happen to catch that Nixon movie on ABC.
Somehow I missed it.
Oh, well.
So did a lot of people, from what I heard.
It was sponsored by AT&T.
Okay.
In fact, whenever they would go into a commercial, they would it would actually say AT&T presents the final days every time it went into the spot.
That's kind of funny when you say that.
You're right. They ran these like 90 second or 2 minute commercials. They were lengthy spots, and there was one that had to do with the earthquake. Well, that was a segment in it that had to do with the earthquake, and they were actually showing on there that people could actually place calls from that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, place outgoing phone calls. But the thing that they don't realize is that has nothing to do with AT&T. Those are those people's local phone companies.
That is very true. Yes, that is a local phone company that provides them the dial tone.
It's amazing.
And in fact, if they had picked another company, they would be using that company and not AT&T. So very, very good point there.
Are they going to be providing... I'm told that eventually you'll have... choices between local phone companies.
Oh, I sure hope so, because this 9X strike is driving me insane. You know, and I want an option. I want an option bad. And believe me, if when I'm 95 years old they present an option, I'm signing up for it on day one, just because I remember the crap they're putting us through right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have to pay full price for this substandard service, you know? It's there's no word for it that I can describe, you know? In fact, let me give a little demonstration now. I'm going to let you go, sir, and give a demonstration, okay? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. A little one-man demonstration here to show you how unfair things can be. I'm going to call this number that I happen to know is busy. In fact, it's busy all the time. I don't know what's wrong with it. Uh-oh. Okay. Apparently something went horribly wrong there. Let me try this again. It's awfully hard to dial things here, so let me try to do it one more time. Whoops. I made a dialing error. Oh, boy. See, the touch tone keypad is all the way on the other side of the console, and I've got to reach clear across and dial the number and hopefully... not hit a wrong key.
Will you please hang up and try your call again?
Why?
This is a recording.
Why should I do that?
Two.
I don't know what I did wrong.
You must first dial a 1 when calling this number. Will you please hang up and try your call again? This is a recording. Key 2.
That's insane, because I'm dialing O. I'm not dialing 1. I'm dialing O. This is going to be a long argument with a computer, I can tell. Okay, I'm not giving up, folks. I'm not giving up. I'm trying to dial O plus a number in a different area code. And now I just made another dialing error, and I'm starting to get really frustrated here. Hold on. We're going to accomplish this small task. Okay, I think we might be getting somewhere. Ah, beautiful, beautiful. We'll get an operator.
Your telephone.
Yes. Hello, operator. I'm having trouble reaching this number. I keep getting a busy signal. It's been busy now for a long, long time. I was hoping you'd be able to verify it for me.
Yeah, but that's a 45-cent charge.
It's a 45-cent charge to verify the number?
Right. Oh. Unless there's something wrong with the line.
Yeah, I suspect there might be.
Then there won't be a charge for it.
Okay, thank you.
Shall I get it for you?
If you could, I'd appreciate it.
What is the area code and number?
Doesn't it show up on your screen? I just dialed it. Hello? Well, she seems to have gone away. Okay, well, that's part of what I wanted to demonstrate. It wasn't quite exactly what I had in mind, but what they have been doing for the most part is saying, because of the strike, we cannot verify this number for you. And it's been going on for a very, very long time now. It appears maybe they now verify numbers, even though they seem to hang up on you, too. It's typical of what's going on. The other day I was trying to make a phone call at a payphone in New York City, and I don't know if you've tried this recently, but it's become so incredibly frustrating just to make a simple phone call. The payphones aren't getting fixed, and the ones that are working tend to take more quarters than they should, and horrible things like that. And there's no end in sight. There really is no end in sight. At least I don't see an end in sight. I'd like any insight on the New York telephone strike, if folks, any strikers, you know? I'd sure like to know what's going on from their point of view, because these folks aren't being paid, you know? And it's the really funny thing is that it's not a pay increase that they're striking about. It's because the phone company said, we don't want to pay for your health benefits anymore. You must now pay for this. So it's like, you know, it's like a pay decrease that the New York or 9X has suddenly hit them with. And that's what caused this whole strike. It wasn't an offensive move by the strikers. It was an offensive move by the management, which is a bit different. It doesn't usually work that way. And out by me, I pass by the building where the operators are usually stationed, and I never see strikers there, but I always see two police cars. There's always two police cars parked in front of the telephone company building. I don't know why that is. They're expecting trouble or something, but I've never actually seen anything going on there, and I'm wondering why I don't see any strikers. You know, where are all the picketers? That's something I'd like to know more about. Good evening.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
This is John from All Westbury.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
What's on your mind?
It's relatively easy to find your way around in Germany because the signposts are usually clear. And there are lots of maps and guidebooks in English. Still, you should be able to ask for the right directions. Listen to the first three dialogues where Ruth asks three tram drivers where they're going.
Sind Sie die Linie 1?
Ja.
Fahren Sie zum Theater?
Ja.
Wie viele Stationen ist das?
I sure hope that's what they're asking.
Fünfte Station.
Gut. Und was kostet das?
21.
Okay, sir. What was that?
Ach, das Singen?
Ja, das Singstation.
Gut, danke schön.
I hope this is the last one. I guess I don't think they're asking about trams anymore. Okay, well, thanks very much for enlightening us about that. Our number is 279-3400. Good evening. Hello, is anyone there? Okay. Good evening.
Good evening. This is a most fascinating program, and I want to first say as briefly as I can, I say amen to what you're saying about a phone company, about AT&T and the ripoffs. Just a few quick things. One, I was finding the payphone, the outside payphone situation in the street, horrendous well before the strike, and you're lucky if you just get away losing a couple of quarters. The other things, well, excuse me, am I on?
Yes, you are.
And then all these, first of all, just their charge is, I find their charges horrendous. When I compare it to what phone charges used to be, say, this is just horrendous, but I want to make a very trivial point, far from the interesting points that you have been making and callers have been making. It's, but it concerns 1-800. Well, recently, I usually wake myself up, but it was very important. I had to get up very in the wee hours, so
yeah.
I tried to call 540 Wake. And as I call them, I got a computer which told me, dial your area code. On your touchtone, your area code, your
right.
Number, and then 540 Wake. Now I have a dial phone, so I dialed it with great quickness. And right away, I got another computer voice which told me, "Your time is up. You're past your time. You're past your time before I finish dialing." Then I tried it over and over again, and it kept on being the same thing. Now I still have a dial tone. That's what I choose. That's what I choose to have. And this makes me. I'm finding now, and rapidly, within just a short period of time. Since then, I've been finding that this applies to a great many 800 numbers, including that postal information phone, 330. I called and I was told it didn't work without using a touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm sure I'm not the only one, or I'm not very exceptional in still having a dial tone. I think that's the deprivation of service, of a public service, of a public utility to a sizable segment of the population.
Well, you know, my view on that is they should always offer an option for those people that still have dial phones as opposed to touchtone phones. In addition, though, instead of charging for a touchtone line, which really is a fictitious term, they should offer discounts for touchtone use to encourage people to use them rather than charging extra for the use of touchtones, which is completely ridiculous.
I really feel, within my budget, I can't afford that extra charge.
Right.
I have to really keep a tight lid on my budget every month.
Right, and let me just bring up another thing. I don't know if you were listening before when we called the credit operator, but if you didn't have a touch-tone phone, you have to wait until the strike is over and tell them all your credit reports then. Now, in your case, with the 540 Wake, I'm concerned about something. Now, you called this thing a lot of times. Did it charge you each time you called that?
All this was very recently, so it wasn't within my bill yet.
Okay, well, you better watch out.
To see what it's going to be.
You better watch out, because they may charge you $2 per call. So if they do that, you make sure you get credit for it.
Because that's... Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. That's an important point.
It sure is.
In fact, I'm very curious to see what it's going to be if they charge me.
Yeah.
Because here, you hardly can turn on your TV or radio without hearing 540 Wake.
It's ridiculous. In fact, you're advertising them even more. Let me tell you a way around 540 Wake, which costs something like $2 per call.
Oh, that's good.
You still need a touch-tone phone, and that's the problem. But out in California, for some reason, they still don't have blocking of the 976 numbers. In other words, we can call their 976 numbers and not pay for the premium call. So it only costs us the call of a long-distance cross-country call, which, believe it or not, is less than it costs to call one of those conference
numbers.
Oh,
that's good to know. Thanks.
Yeah, so I think it's in the 213 and 415 area code. If you dial 976 numbers, you only have to pay like something like 10 cents a minute this time of day.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's better than a dollar per minute. But there's one in particular which is a dial-back number. I don't know what it is. It might be 976 Wake or something. Unfortunately, you can only call numbers in California and have those people woken up. But if you arrange with a friend, you know, to have them woken up at a certain time, and then they call you and wake you up, you're still spending less than it costs to call 540 Wake.
Oh,
you might dissolve a couple of friendships, but
that's
the price.
All along hearing 540 Wake, I was saying, well, I can wake myself and so forth, until it got to be very important because it was especially early time and I couldn't miss it. And here I came across all this unexpected difficulty.
Yeah, well, they do make things pretty hard sometimes. Yeah, because they just don't think of.
They gave me credit if they didn't charge all this. To a touchstone, a touch phone. I would. I mean, I have no sentimental attachment to dialing.
Right.
It's easier to just touch your numbers.
And it's easier for the phone company too, which is why they should charge less. So I agree with you there.
And they're just out to find every kind of excuse to charge you more, like this business inside the walls.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Or gold numbers or whatnot. Now, and I don't think any company praises itself as much, pats its own back as much as AT&T does.
Well, AT&T...
They always tell you over TV about what they're doing, like bragging about their service in California, which wasn't their service.
Exactly.
Service out of California, not to California, which wasn't theirs.
Now, you realize...
This is just a small example of how they're tooting their own horn all the time.
Sir, you realize that AT&T is separate from New York Telephone, and they're not the ones that are doing the gold number bit.
That's right.
Yeah, they're the long-distance company, but they're guilty in other ways, too, as are the other long-distance companies, definitely.
But it's the biggest ripoff.
It certainly is, and hopefully somebody from New York Telephone is hearing all this.
And I'll say, and I'm hardly against anti-tech or anti-modern tech, but you know, there used to be a time when there were all these candy stores, stationeries, and all kinds of other stores For example, Whalens, each Whalens used to have a bunch of phone booths in there, and it was a time when they all worked. And if they were all occupied, you didn't wait very long to get another one. Then there was this great improvement. Technology improved so it was possible to install straight phone booths, which right away led to the elimination of those closed booths where you could close the door in stores. And I find, I mean, they're a joke. I mean, when they're not broken, they don't work right either. Ew. And the least of it is losing your quarters.
Uh-huh.
You better carry a supply of quarters. I find you better carry a big supply of quarters if you're going to just try to make one phone call.
Yeah, that's what you have to do in the city today because, you know, I find two out of three phones don't work properly.
That's right.
They make all kinds of bizarre noises.
And one thing, one variation of it I find, I go over, I get a dial tone, I put a quarter in, then I say, and I hear this announcement, put a quarter in, my quarter gets returned each time, and each time they tell you to put a quarter in. And I was once on 57th Street because I was late for a doctor's appointment. I had to get over to East 57th Street. I was on West 57th Street. I was way late. And I just wanted to call on the way. And every phone there had the same thing.
Uh-huh. Sounds like the same thing that happened to me a few weeks ago.
And, you know, I finally found that one out of six phones finally worked. I could finally get it, and it took a while, too. It didn't work normally. And I lost quarters on that one.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And, I mean, where's the improvement? At one time, you didn't, to use the phone in your store, you didn't have to come in as a customer. You couldn't say, you didn't have to say, excuse me, could I use your phone? You just went into the phone booth, and even a little bit of a stationery store would have a couple of phone booths in it.
Mm-hmm.
We went in, sat down, closed the door. You didn't have to, very often the tone, the voice on the other end comes through very poorly on street phones, if at all. And
plus there's all the noise of the street.
And it has to compete with its street traffic.
Exactly, yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, sir. It's and you know, by not having them enclosed in booths, that makes it all the harder. Perhaps there's a reason store owners don't keep phones inside their booths. Maybe something happened with the phone company where they charge money for that now. I don't know, but there, you know, things certainly are going downhill. But I was thinking, you know, what you were saying about the problems with making a phone call at a payphone. You know, if every time you made a phone call, you simply dial the operator first. Since we're having so much trouble, let's just go on the assumption that we're going to have trouble and save us the time for a change and let them work a little harder. Just dial O plus each time. Say, operator, I'm having trouble reaching this number. They don't charge you the operator-assisted rate if you're having trouble reaching the number, and God knows we're having trouble reaching numbers now. So you simply tie them up. Let's have a work slowdown of our own, a work slowdown from the consumer end. And once they get so completely overworked that the whole system grinds to a halt, maybe then they'll start realizing that, yes, a strike can hurt the company.
Because, you know, at one time, for example, right near me, there used to be a big Whalen. They disappeared too, but there used to be a big Whalen. And they had two lines of phones. And in emergency snowstorms, when my phone was knocked out of service and I wanted to call repair late at night, I could go down there. And, well, a number of other people were calling, but even if they were all taken up, I could wait another minute or so and get a hold of a phone, at least call repairs, you know? And now it's a joke. For one thing, late at night, it's not safe to go over to one of these open, in many areas, it's not safe to go over to an open street phone. Somehow it attracts attention when you're on it.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. It's something that the phone company has been doing over the years. It's a disturbing trend. Profits before the public service. And since they are a public service, since they are a utility, there are certain questions that they have to answer. Sir, I have to let you go now because we do have other calls to get to, other topics to get to. In fact, thanks very much for calling. It's just about 1:30, and this programming note, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. I have been filling in for Robert Knight, and now I'm filling in for Sydney Smith, who also won't be here tonight. So we'll be here for another couple of hours, which I'm sure will make people very ecstatic or have reactions of equal proportion in the other direction. And we have a couple of things that I'd like to read. This is from the latest issue of 2600 magazine, which we were talking about before, under the title of Privacy. Yes, privacy? What's that, you may ask? Well, according to a magazine called Boardwatch, and this is a magazine that keeps an eye on computer bulletin boards, Representative George Gekas, G-E-K-A-S, that's how I pronounce it, Gekas of Pennsylvania, has introduced a bill that would require bulletin board operators and information services to provide names and addresses of persons suspected of using communications networks to commit crimes without requiring a search warrant. In other words, sort of what we were talking about before, require people who operate computer bulletin board systems to supply information that if it wasn't a computer bulletin board system, it would be illegal to supply that information you know, without a search warrant of any kind. They're saying, well, since it's a computer bulletin board, let's bypass that law. And the House bill is called House Bill 2082. And it would be good if some people looked into that a little further and maybe sent us some information here if you know anything more about it. It could also force phone companies to give this information, again, without a search warrant. Yeah. And if you do want to send us information here at the radio station, my name is Emmanuel Goldstein. The address is WBAI. That's 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. And by the way, if you've made a pledge to us in the past, please, and if you haven't sent it in, of course, please send it in to that same address, because your pledge makes programs like this possible. And as you're probably painfully aware, programs like this are really the only place where you can voice your opinion, where you can vent your spleen, or whatever that phrase is, where you can, you know, just get your opinion out. We give you that opportunity. And a lot of times there's things to be said that might be inconvenient. Let's say this program was underwritten by New York Telephone, as most programs tend to be. You know, if we had New York Telephone commercials. Well, guess what, folks? We don't have commercials, you know? We have companies coming up here occasionally saying, I want to buy commercial time on your radio station. And we say, well, you see this over here? That's the door, you know? And we show them the door, and it's a good door, too. We give them a very detailed examination of it, and they usually get the hint. We don't have commercials here. We're a non-commercial station because we have you, our listeners, supporting us. So if you have a pledge and haven't sent it, or if you want to make a pledge, that's our address, WBAI 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Anyway, I don't quite know how I got off on that, but let's get back to privacy. The Commissioner of Immigration and Naturalization, whose name is Alan C. Nelson, has proposed a nationwide computer system to verify the identities of all job applicants in order to halt the widespread use of fraudulent documents by illegal aliens seeking jobs. Similar nationwide computer databases are being suggested repeatedly by various governmental agencies, and we can only suspect as to why that is. So far, Congress has been successful in preventing this because civil liberties can still be found in their dictionaries. But how much longer do we have? Meanwhile, overseas, Scotland Yard is busy storing information in electronic databases, things like electronically processed fingerprints, suspects' photographs, and full criminal records. Now, when the system is ready, by the end of 1990, police officers will be able to find out everything there is to know about a person within minutes. The fully digitized fingerprint records could allow a detective to send an image of a fingerprint found at the scene of a crime and receive, within minutes, the name and criminal record of the suspect. The system is known as PNC2. Another system called Holmes 2, as in Sherlock Holmes, will be used to spot discrepancies in suspect stories, and no doubt grammatical errors as well. The example they use says that if a suspect gives two separate police forces differing stories, the computer will instantly catch the discrepancy. Policemen just hate being lied to, don't they? Oh, the Christian Science Monitor reports that Americans are so concerned with getting tough on drugs and crime Drugs and crime, oh God, that they've become lax on privacy concerns. Anybody with the intelligence of a turnip has to be concerned about the potential for abuse, says Clifford S. Fishman, a law professor at the Columbus School of Law at Catholic University. According to James A. Ross, president of Ross Engineering Incorporated, some new phone systems have built-in monitoring capabilities allowing a person to listen in on others' conversations. It's become much easier to wiretap a line, and that word is in quotes because wiretapping doesn't really enter into it anymore. It's just eavesdropping. No wires involved. Often it can be done by computer. Experts are increasingly concerned about illegal wiretapping by private individuals. A growing number of private detectives and police forces appear to be engaging in this activity with very little chance of being detected. And the current hysteria over drugs and crime make it all the more unlikely that Americans will be concerned about civil liberties. It's incredible, you know, the way it's all happening. This is the no decade, you know. It's everything is just no. Gotta say no to drugs. Drugs are horrible. You know, whatever it takes, we gotta wipe drugs off the face of the earth. And sex, oh God, you know, the trouble sex can get you into. No to that, too. Movies, you know, movies with nudity, you know what they can do to you. All these horrible things, you know. You gotta rank rock music so that children don't hear the wrong things, get the wrong messages, TV programs. God, keep an eye on those things. Boy, are we becoming paranoid. I mean, yeah, drugs are a menace, no question about that. But drugs have always been a menace. And there are certain more potent forms of drugs, and it's become a lot cheaper. But I think we really need to focus on education, not just saying no, not just forbidding things, not just making all these laws that won't be followed anyway. I mean, when somebody needs help, you don't lock them up, you help them. And that's really what we need more than anything else. Getting back to privacy, though, in a related story to the drugs and crime bit, Bella, Pennsylvania has acknowledged widespread wrongdoing by company employees, including giving outsiders the private phone records of its customers. A Bell employee gave information about a phone customer's long-distance calls to a private investigator, according to a report from the company. Bell also routinely let people have information about long-distance records without search warrants. The company said it was disciplining 13 employees, but it refused to identify them or describe their punishment. And the Justice Department has a neat idea to keep guns out of the hands of felons. Every citizen will be required to carry a personal smart card. This card would contain your life story, including any criminal activity and thought crime, too. Gun dealers would never let a criminal buy a gun, right? And if you're not a criminal, you've got absolutely nothing to hide. So everyone will be safe and happy and brain dead, given time. Our number is 279-3400. Emmanuel Goldstein here, filling in for Sidney Smith until 3:30. And we're going to get back to the phone calls. Oh, but first... it's time to play Confuse the Operator.
Please dial zero for an operator, or enter your credit card number at the tone.
But I don't have a touch tone phone. And I also didn't hear a tone. Okay, we can wait here. Oh my God, we're going to the NTS operator. I recognize that sound. They won't identify themselves. This is one of those rip-off companies. I don't know why I'm getting this. Yes, hi. Is this the operator?
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. I'm having trouble getting through to this number. I'm trying to call a collect, but I keep getting this this recording, and I don't understand it. Could you help me?
What number are you dialing?
Okay, I was dialing area code 304, and the number is 757-9921.
Is this collect call?
Yes, it is.
I have your name, sir.
Yes, my name is Emmanuel.
One moment, let me...
Thank you. Don't understand what that noise is. Ah.
The call you are making requires a 25-cent deposit. Please hang and requires
Hello,
a 25-cent deposit. Please hang 25 cents and dial.
Hello, operator? Yeah, I can't put 25 cents in the phone. I mean, I don't have a pay phone.
Anderson, listen to me.
I'll try.
Dial this access number and try AT&T operator. That number is 102880, and then the area code and number you're dialing.
I see. So AT&T will be able to handle it then. Is that what you're saying?
They should be able to. So dial their access number first, and then the area code and number you're calling.
Okay. Out of curiosity, what company is this?
This is NTS.
NTS. Okay, can you just answer one question for me, please?
If I can.
Okay, I'd just like to know, if I was to make this call directly
yes.
To this number, how much would that cost?
Well, if you're dialing direct, that will be your long-distance carrier that will handle your call.
Right, if I dial that direct using NTS.
Estimate if you're going through us, through the operator.
Right, if I dial that direct using NTS, how much would that cost?
You cannot dial direct using NTS because we are not your carrier.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, how much would an operator-assisted call to that cost then?
Okay, one moment. Would it be collect?
Yes, I guess it would. Okay. Thank you. I try not to let too much of this dead air go over, but it does happen occasionally. Waiting for information here. Not much else we can do, actually. Well, okay, I think the point has been made. The point is that companies like NTS is one of these resellers of long-distance lines, which you get connected to occasionally, and I don't know why we're getting connected to them here at BAI. Somebody has made a dreadful, horrible mistake here, because if you make a zero-plus call on NTS, which tries to sound like AT&T to a degree until you ask them a question they can't answer, they charge roughly about twice the amount AT&T does. They're one of these alternate operator service companies, AOS companies, and you just got to be really careful because they're another product of competition. You know, if you're aware, if the consumer is aware of what's going on, you can avoid these things. But notice how difficult it is to get rate information. You ask, you know, a legitimate company rate information, you get it right away. These guys, they put you on hold, they play all kinds of funny tones, things like that, and if they ever have trouble completing a call, they just pass you on to somebody else. Well, I don't know if we can access AT&T here. If we can, we'll come back and try to make a couple of more calls to these numbers. Going to play a bit of music now. We're going to get back to the phone calls, but give me a chance to get a drink of water or something, and we'll be right back. Our number is 279-3400. These are the Buggles, if you remember them. Living in the plastic age, that's what's turning into here.